So beginning of Eitza, there's a lot of a discussion here about Muktzeh. I'd just like to give a bit of an introduction regarding Muktzeh. There's a thesis later on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, where thesis Dibra HaMaskol Hachi Garsinan. Thesis shows, they quote a Gemara Masech HaShabbos, and they interpret the Gemara in Beitza Daf Yud Beis as saying the same, that the prohibition of Tiltal Muktzeh is Exeira Derabbanim Shem Hoitzo. We're afraid that we'll permit people to handle Muktzeh in the house, they may forget and carry it out into the street and violate Hoitzo. If you handle anything in the house, you can forget and carry it into the street, but that make life impossible. You can't move a chair. You can't move the food on the table. So they didn't want to make life impossible. They just wanted to make a little bit asyoga harchoke. So the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph seems to imply pretty obviously. You take a look there when you have a chance. That called the Tikkun Rabbanu came the Raisa Tikkun. All the Takkunas the Rabbanu were patterned after Dinam the Raisa, the building blocks of Dinam the Rabbanu, have to be concepts that exist on the level of the Raisa. So on the level of the Raisa, there's a principle that there are four categories of things that are Mekabel Tumah. Od Mekele Mochle Mamashke. Everything else is nothing else is Mekabel Tumah because we consider it junk. So the four major things that are of value are Adam and Kelim, Mokhan and Mashkin. So when they made the Xeris of Muktzeh, Muktzeh basically is Eitzim Abana V'Yofar, junk. They prohibited, what do you have to handle junk for? You don't need it anyway. If you have a broken bottle, you have garbage, you have junk. So there's no need to handle it. They're not going to make life too difficult. They're not going to ask for handling food. You have to eat the food. They're not going to ask for handling a fork and a knife. Not going to ask for handling the baby, not going to ask for shaking hands with somebody. Other Mikhail Mochma Mashkim are the things that we use all the time. So, pattern after the din deraisa of Kabbalah Stumah, they instituted the din of Tiltum Muktzeh. It's really a Shvus of Haitzor, Zereshem Yotzi. The Rambam in the end of Hilchot Shabbos gives you a whole explanation what motivated the Chachamim to introduce the prohibition of Muktzeh. So, the Rabbit says, I don't know, and my Gemara says that it's a Shvus of Haitzor. I don't know what the Rambam needed that whole philosophy for. The Rabbi is just quoting the Gemara that the Taisis quotes on Daf Yibes Aminah. But that's clear from the Gemara that Muktzeh, the Tiltul Muktzeh, is a Gzera der Rabbanah Mishim Hoitzor. And it's patterned after the Dinim Daraisa of Kabbalah's Tumah. It's not 100% correspondent. Let's say Adam. Adam is only Mekabel Tumah if he's an Adam Yisrael, if he's an Nochri. It's not Mekabel Tumah, but that over here by books, it does make a difference. But it's a Yisrael already, even though the Nochri is not Mekabel Tumah, but he's still a valuable thing. So he's not considered Muktzeh. Let's say Caleb. We have a quirk of Halacha that Klei Glolim, Klei Adoma, Klei Avonim, Klei Glolim, Klei Adoma. The three Caleb are not Mekabel Tumah, but it's still a Kli that has a Shtamshus. It's a Kli that has a value to it. So they didn't pattern everything exactly 100% after Hilchas Kabbalah's Tumah. Any kelim are considered the davar chashuv, and it's not considered the muktzeh. The same thing, let's say oichlam mamashkin. So the din is that meichel beheme is not mekabel tumah, only meichel odin, and mashkim also only mashkim. Mashkim shasa b'chol kli yitma, mashkim that aruim l'shtiyas adam are mekabel tumah. Mashkim oichlam mamashkim that only well achilas beheme. Are not Mekabel Tumah. And nonetheless, there's a thesis later, Chofalchim based, there's a whole Gemara in Beitza of Chofalchim based. So, Halacha Lemaisa, how do you feed your dog? How do you feed your cat? Michael Behem is not Muktzeh. It's not 100% pattern after Hilchas Kabbalah Tumah, but basically it's pattern after that. So, that's Muktzeh Letiltol is clearly only of Zera the Rabban. Then you have Rashi on Beis on the base. Refers you to Gemara in Psochim, Daf Mem Zayin, and Rashi says that according to Rabba has a new din, Hachana de Rabba, that at Beitza there was Huchan on Yontav, for Shabbos, on Shabbos to Yontav, you have 2 days in a row, so that every other day the Tarnagodas lays an egg, so the egg, Beitza Shinol de Hoedon, the Yes Mogamar Lo, the Gemara is yesterday. So if it has an improper Hachana, so Rabba says that that's an Issa de Raisa. The Gemara has on the next daf that if you have a Sofik Beitzah Shinol de B'Shabbos, Sofik Beitzah Shinol de B'chol, so the Gemara said that's a Sofik Deraisa Lechumer. The Rabbi's din seems to be a real din Deraisa. The Gzera, Shabbos the Alma Otto Shabbos Acha Yontav, that's already a Gzera de Rabbanim. If you really had Yontav Acha Shabbos, Shabbos after Yontav, so Rabbi's din is a real din Deraisa. So Rashi writes on Daf Beis on the base. He says the Psochim Daf Mem Zayin is Rabba's din, and he learns out from this pasuk the Aleph Mehocha the Muktzah Derais. When you look in Erevin, where this Gemara appears also, the Tais was there in Erevin, and the Rashbo, all the Rishonim disagree with Rashi. They say, look in the Gemara Psochim. The Gemara had a Havamina that Muktzah is Derais, but then it's rejected. Lefiyam Haskana. The Gemara comes to the Maskana Muktzah is Lav Derais. How is Rashi in this quoting the Gemara? So in this Rashi, there's a Shita Mukubetzis. I didn't see it originally in the Sefer Shita Mukubetzis. I have a Shita Mukubetzis in my house. It collects dust, but then it quotes the Shita Mukubetzis. So then I looked it up. So the Shita Mukubetzis explains that there are three different, that it quotes it and elaborates, the three different dinim in Muktzah. Muktzah L'Tiltul is clearly only Gzera D'Abonah, and that's Mishum Haitzor. That's the Tosis with the Ravid, Tosis on Daf Yud Beis. Then the Gemara has Muktzah L'Achila. You're not allowed to eat Muktzah. Then there's another din that muktzah, it's also to consume muktzah. Let's say I have logs that are muktzah. On Yontif, you can throw logs in the furnace to burn in order to keep your body warm and in order to cook food. So if you have muktzah, hishtamshus, muktzah, to consume the logs, that was the havamin in the Gemara, that's the raisa, the same as muktzah l'achila. Maskana was that that's only the rabban. So Rashi understood in the Gemara that Muktzah L'Achila remains deraisa. There never was a pilpul about that. There never was a machloikis. It was only Muktzah L'Hanoah Shel Kiloi. Muktzah L'Hanoah Shel Kiloi. So that was a Havam in the Gemara that's the same as Achila. Just like Muktzah L'Achila is deraisa, so to Muktzah L'Biur, Hanoah Shel Kiloi is also deraisa. Maskana was that that's not true. Only Muktzah L'Achila is deraisa. And the other Rishayim, in Erevin Daf Lamed Ches, the Taisus on the Daf, a little Taisus disagrees with Rashi, and the Rashbon, the other Rishon, they all disagree. They say, no, Achona de Rabba means if it had an improper Achona, that's an Issa de Raisa. Rabba's din is an Issa de Raisa, but if it lacks a Achona, had no Achona at all, that's only the Rabban. So it's a Machlekes, Rashi and Taisus, how do you understand Machlekes, Rashi and many other Rishonim, how do you understand the din of Achona de Rabba? Rashi understood that an improper Achona is equivalent to a lack of Achona. But it didn't have a proper achana. Whenever you have food that didn't have a proper achana, that's an isa deraisa, you're not allowed to eat it. And Tosfos says, no. If it had no achana, that's not a problem. Shabbos mechina liatzman, yontem mechina liatzman, that's not a problem. If it had an improper, that's only a problem with the rabban. If you have food that had no achana at all, that'll be an isa derabban, it won't be an isa deraisa. The isa deraisa only is if it had an improper achana. If you have yontem as mechina Shabbos, Shabbos says mechina liyontem, so that's an Issa Deraisa, according to him. But it's not that an improper Achon is the equivalent of a lack of Achon, and the lack of Achon will be an Issa Deraisa. That's a fundamental machlokes, Rashi and all of Rishonim. The Gemara speaks a lot about the machlokes in different Masechtos, also about the machlokes of Yehuda and Reb Shimon regarding Muktzah. Reb Shimon also agrees that there is an institution of Muktzah. He doesn't disagree that Eitzim Amar Yofer is not muktzah. If you have a junk, if you have a broken glass or something like that, something that's not useful, that's no hishtamshus. Reb Shimon also agrees that that's muktzah. Machlokes of Yehuda Reb Shimon is muktzah be'oichlim or muktzah be'kelim. The original machlokes is if you take a look in Shabbos Yud Tes on the base, the Gemara speaks about tamrei de'isko. The man has a store, let's say adjacent to his home, and he sells tamarim. He sells fruits or he sells whatever. He has a grocery store. And on Shabbos, he can go into the grocery store and take out food. So all of the food that's oimed lemechira, and there is no umdat in the mu'ah. A lot of times a person has an apartment adjacent to his grocery store, and it's a dovi yodua that on Shabbos, he goes in, everybody knows on Erev Shabbos. If he'd ask him on Erev Shabbos, do you plan, do you think you may go into the store on Shabbos and take out some food? He says, of course I do. I always do. During the week, he goes into the store. So if you have a situation where we know the fellow, it's an umdir in the mukhach, he may plan to go into the store and take out some food, then it's oimed l'achila. But if he has a store, the umdir in the mukhach is that he is not going to go into the store. But it's not vera. So what if he decides, he changes his mind, this food is oimed l'mechira. Or let's say you plan to have a birthday party for one of the children on Sunday and you bought ice cream. So the ice cream is in the freezer in your own home, but it's designated for the birthday party on Sunday, so it's an umdin and muchach that you don't plan to eat it on Shabbos. Or let's say, You have Pesach Digadishes. You have Pesach Digadishes, which only use on Pesach. You're going to use it for Chametz all year long. Then you can't use it for Pesach. So it's an umdin and mukach that the fellow does not plan to use those dishes on a regular, the rest of the year. So what if in the middle of Shabbos, the wife finds out that she just won the Irish sweepstakes, and she's gonna buy a new set of Pesach Digadishes in the middle of Shabbos, middle of Yom Tov, she decides she's going to use the Pesach Digadishes, not for Pesach, for Rosh Hashanah, but she's going to use it for a regular Shabbos. Do you say that that's muktzah? It's a kelim or a tzorchim. Do you say that the ice cream in the freezer that's waiting, that was purchased for the birthday party, or the tamri leiska, the food that you have in the grocery store that's adjacent to your apartment, and you never take out food. You never take out food. The practice is you never go into your own grocery store and shops take out food. The umdin the muchach is you don't plan to eat it. So that's the original machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon. So what exactly is the machlekes? So they both seem to agree that you have to have hachana. Food has to have hachana to be permitted to eat it on Shabbos. According to Rashi, it's a din de raisa. If you hold like hachana the rabbi, if the food didn't have hachana b'vod yom, and according to Tosfos and Rav Rishonim, it's only a din de rabbanan. So this din that you need hachana, so here there's a machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon. So Rabbi Yehuda thinks that you need hachana sabayla. The owner of the peiros has to have a mind, or the owner of the food, or the owner of the kelim has to have a mind that he's going to use this on Shabbos. So if it's an umdur in the muchach that he doesn't have in mind, the ice cream is designated for the birthday party. So then they change their mind. They're going to eat the ice cream for Shalosh Shudas. They're going to buy new ice cream for the birthday party. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that ice cream is muktzah. Or the tamri leiska, the food that you have in the grocery store that's adjacent to your apartment where you live, it's an umdur in the muchach. You don't plan to eat that food. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be muktzah. And the same thing if you have the Pesach Digger dishes. In the middle of this Shabbos, Balabasta Bisa, she's going to make them chametz, she's going to buy a new set of Pesach Digger dishes. So before Shabbos entered, it was an umdur in the muchach that they didn't plan to use those dishes. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that you need hachanas habaylim both for the kelim and for the oichlim. Usually you don't need, usually it's an umdur in the muchach. Let's say, all the food in my apartment, it's an umdur in the muchach. We may decide to eat. We don't have any little children that we're making a birthday party for. So in case we do have ice cream in the freezer, I don't know if we have. In case we have it, it's for our consumption. We may decide to eat it on Shabbos. Or any dishes that we have, anything we have in the house, it's an umdur in the muchach. We may want to use it on Shabbos. There is no umdur in the muchach against it. Umdur muchach is anything that's in the house. We may want to use it. Conquer beauty, that would be okay. And Reb Shimon says even the tamri leiska and even the chitim la'oitzer and even the Pesach digger dishes and the ice cream in the freezer, you don't need hachanas habaylim. We assume that ochlim and kelim are muchan le'aleihim. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, this is what Rav Soloveitchik says, but the Chazon Ish has a very different hesber as to what's going on. To try to link up the three cases where the Gemara puts together machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon. So the original case is where you have the ice cream in the freezer for the birthday party and the Pesach digger dishes. Then you have another case that's called Noilat She'en or Gomor. The Gemara has on Beis Amid Aleph, Oichlim are not muktzah, whether it's Michael Odom or Michael Behem. But we mentioned, even though Michael Behem is not Mekabel Tumah, and the Hilchas muktzah with pattern after, called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein, the Raisa Tikkun is pattern after Hilchas Kabbalah Tumah, but not 100%. So the din is that Michael Behem is also not muktzah. But what if you had Michael Odom on Erev Shabbos, who was Michael Odom, in the middle of Shabbos, who was in Shtan Aliyah's Michael Behem? How did that happen? How did that moifus happen? They had chicken. So the chicken, the whole piece of chicken, Bichlalusa, is labeled as Maichalot. The people are not going to eat the bones. The bones are not Maichalot. So we don't judge the bones separately and the chicken separately. We judge the whole chicken, Bichlalusa, the whole thing is Maichalot. After the person eats up all the chicken on the bones, nothing left for anybody to eat. Now the bones are Maichal Behema. So it depends. Why are bones Maichal Behema? Because dogs eat bones, and there are always dogs. I live in an apartment building, some of the tenants have dogs. And the Rama says, even if you live in a building where there are no dogs, one of the neighbors is going to have a dog. So if you have a Michael that's only miyuchad for elephants, if you live near the Bronx Zoo, so then it's not considered muktzah. If you live over here, you don't live near the zoo, so it's not Michael Bain. But elephants are not so common, so it depends what kind of Michael do you have and what kind of animals are common. So whatever's a Michael HaKelev, that's considered Michael Bain. So that's the machlekes, where the magdim al shulchan atzomus a klipin esulam imsalah saktav lakula. Do you say that the chicken bones that are left over, what happened was, before Shabbos began, it was Meichel Odom, and after, in the middle of Shabbos, the person ate up all the chicken, no chicken left, and it's only left with the bones, so the bones are Meichel Behena. Even though the Rishonim say, bones never change, the bones from the very outset were not really Meichel Odom, so I should have said it was always Meichel Behena. So you don't treat it like that. You treat the whole piece of chicken, Bichlolusa, as Meichel Odom, and now what, all you have left are the bones. It's Meichel Odom, Shenishtan Aliyah, Meichel Behena. Or you have the Sugya in Shabbos, but this is called Neulad She'eno Gomer. Neulad means it was Michael A, Shenishtan Ali is Michael B. If it used to be Fleshig and Amoifus happened, then it became Milchig, or it used to be Milchig, it became Parva, something like that. But it's Michael Odom is Michael Odom. So that does make a difference. I don't know how that's going to happen, that Fleshig is going to turn into Milchig. But if it's Michael Odom, Shenishtan Ali is Michael Behema, that's considered Neulad She'eno Gomer. Or if you have a kli that broke in the middle of Shabbos, if it broke into tiny little smithereens, and now it's a piece of junk, so that's muktzah, that's Eitz Ma'avonah V'Yofar. A lot of people make a mistake. They know there's an expression in the Gemara later, ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. That's not what it means. People think that something can't become muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. Not true. Ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos means something else. There is a din of nigadus katzoyle ben hashmashes. It's katzoyle kuliyama. Whatever was muktzah in the beginning of Shabbos remains muktzah throughout Shabbos. So the Gemara has a discussion later in the Masechta. I think it's Chavava. So what if something at the beginning of Shabbos Yantav is not muktzah? Then in the middle of Shabbos it became muktzah for a while. And then the state of muktzah disappeared at the end of Shabbos. You say migad is katzoy lemiktzah sayom is katzoy l'shar hayom or not? So that's what we say in muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. If it became muktzah in the middle of Shabbos, and then the Siva Sahaktsa goes away at the end of Shabbos, and you don't say, Migris Katsoy le Mixas Marayom is Katsoy le Shar Hayom. That's what it means, a Mukta le Chatzi Shabbos. But if you have a bottle that broke, if you have a Kli that's smashed, I sit on a chair and the whole chair breaks apart, then it's not useful. It's going to go in the garbage. So then it is Mukta. So the Gemara has a discussion there. On Yontif, you're allowed to throw a Kli is not Mukta. Kelim are not mukta, so let's say I have a wooden shtender, and I'm cold on Yontif, so it's worth it for me. Shtender is worth, I don't know, cost $200, but I'm freezing. So I want to throw the whole wooden shtender into the furnace that it should burn, I should keep warm. I shouldn't catch a cold. I want to cook some food on Yontif, so it's worth it to me. Maybe it's stupid, but if I think it's worth it for me. So one Tana says, you're not allowed to do that. We'll get later in the Mishnah. One Tana holds, Lanitan. How does he say? Rabbi Nechemi holds that you're not allowed to handle a kli for an abnormal hishtamshus. To take a shtender, wooden shtender, and throw it into the furnace, you're not allowed to do that. But we don't pass it like that. So the Gemara has a machlekes of Rabbi Shimon. If you have a kli sholem, and I want a wooden kli, and I want to throw it into the furnace that it should burn to keep me warm, my yontif, so that Rabbi Shimon both agree that it is permissible. What if you have a kli that broke? It was originally a chair, and now it's a footstool. So originally it was kli A, and now it's kli B. If I had a big pot, and the pot cracked, and now it's a small pot. So originally it was a pot that holds a soup, that held 3 gallons of soup. Now it's a pot that holds 1 bowl of soup. So that's the kli A. It's not in the shtana. It's still the same kli. But if originally I had a chair that people could sit on, now it's not a chair at all. Now it's a footstool. So that the Gemara considers a kliyeshen ishtana to become kli b. That's also called what the Rishonim call, the Paskin call, Rishonim call. That's noila she'eno gomer. So that's a machlekes for Buda Reb Shimon. But the noila she'eno gomer is muktzah or not. How is this lishitosam? What has this got to do? Their fundamental machlekes was what the chitim la'oitza tamri le'iska, the ice cream in the freezer for the birthday party, or the Pesach digger dishes, where they need achonas abaylim, or you say Olech Mekelim Ambuchem Me'alein. So Rav Soloveitchik explained the Chazanish has a totally different explanation. They say the Chazanish became famous the Toivah because of his chibur that he published on Muktzah. The Rav Soloveitchik gave a different explanation. He didn't go for the Chazanish's explanation. So Rav Soloveitchik explained if you hold that Oichle Mekelem Amuchen Me'aleihem, you don't need Achanas Abaylim. So if the thing breaks in the middle of Shabbos, in the middle of Yontif, if it was an old kli, if it's a brand new kli, it's not supposed to break, then even Reb Shimon will agree that it's going to remain Muktzah. It'll become Noilah. But if the thing is an old kli, and you could have predicted this, you could have predicted that it may break in the middle of Shabbos, in the middle of Yom Tov, and the Eichelim, we can all predict that. You eat the chicken, you're left with the chicken bones. So everybody sees how now it's Michael Adam, and we know after you're going to eat the meal, it's going to turn into Michael Behema. So Reb Shimon, who's of the opinion that the leading opinion, that Eichelim and Kelim Amuchan and the Aleim, so he would say, not only the ice cream in the freezer, or the Pesach the conditions Amuchan Me'elov, you don't need Achanas Abaylim, but even if something changed, it was originally Michael Adam Shenishtan Elias Michael Behema, originally it was a Shtender, and that becomes a chair, totally different Ishtamsh, it's Kliye, Shenishtan Elias Kli B. But it was an old Shtender, it was an old pot, and it was ultimately it is going to crack. So we say it's Mucha Me'elov for later. Since we can foresee the possibility of eating up all the chicken, it's going to be left with the bones. You can foresee the possibility that the chair is going to break. It's going to turn into a footstool, or a shtender is going to turn into a chair, or something like that. So then it's mucha me'elov for the other tzura as well. And then the Gemara has a third machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Masechus Shabbos, mem dalad and aleph. What if a woman benches licht on air Shabbos with a container, an air, and oil, shem, and a psila, and a wick? So the ner means the glass container or the metal container, and then you have shem and a psila. So the Gemara says, calls man that the flame is burning, hanach l'ner shem and a psila, well, then as the bus is a double house, it calls man that the ner is still burning, the flame is considered muktzah on Shabbos. On Yontav, a flame is not considered muktzah. Let's say on Yontav, you have the candles are lit on the dining room table. And then someone wants to take the candles into the bedroom to see you don't have any lights on in the bedroom. So that's permissible to carry the candles on Yom Tov. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry candles. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to. How come you're allowed to carry the candles on Yom Tov? So the answer is, the flame is not muktzah on Yom Tov. The flame is only muktzah on Shabbos. And because the flame is muktzah, so the ner shemen a psila, the cup is the ner, the shemen is the oil, and the psila is the wick. All three of them become a basis of the basis. How come the flame, the shalheves, is only muktzah on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov? So the pashtus is because on Shabbos it has no hishtamshus. You can't use the flame. You can use the warmth that comes. Let's say I'm chilly, I'm going to hold my hands over the flame to warm up. Or I can't read, so I'm going to take a sefer close to the flame to be able to read. So I'm being mishtamish in the warmth that comes out, the heat that comes out from the flame. Or I'm mishtamish in the light that comes out from the flame. But I'm not mishtamish in the flame itself. I can't light another candle from that flame. On Shabbos, you can't do that. So the flame is a dove, shein bo hishtamshus klal on Shabbos. Like eitz ma'bona v'yover. It's a piece of junk. So the flame itself doesn't have any hishtamshus on Shabbos. It's called malach talisa. The only thing you can do with the flame is to light another flame that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you are allowed to light another flame from that flame. So on Yom Tov, it wouldn't be muktzah. So Gemara has this discussion. Let's say when you light the candles on Erev Shabbos, so the Balabasta knows in another 4 or 5 hours, depending on what size candles, the candles are going to go out. We know that today that's the case. So the people who would light Hadlokas Ne'er Shabbos, Hadlokas Ne'er Yom Tov, let's say Shabbos, they would light the Ne'er Shabbos with a wick and oil, so they know that after 5 or 6 hours the flame is going to go out. They know by 1 o'clock at night the flame will go out. And you'll be left with the leftover shemen. So the Gemara has a machlokes. What's the din of the moisa shemen shebineir? Do you say migadis katzoy lebein hashmashes is katzoy lekuli yoma? Since it was muktzah at the beginning of Shabbos and remained muktzah throughout Shabbos or not? So the Gemara says that's l'shitasam a machlokes Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon. According to Reb Shimon, who is mekel on muktzah, he's more mekel than Reb Yehuda. So he would say there's no din of migadis katzoy. According to Reb Shimon, who is so the back, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who is the Machmir, he would say there's a din of Migadis Katzoy. So the Moshe Shemesh Abiner, the leftover oil will be Muktzah, even though the flame went out. So there's no reason that it should remain Muktzah. The Sibas HaMuktzah went away. It's no longer a buses, but it was a buses for Tchilas Shabbos. And according to Reb Shimon, there's no din of Migadis Katzoy. How is that Tolis Ebezet with the Migadis Katzoy? The Ben HaShemetz Katzoy Lekul Yom. Why does that depend on the Machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon? So again, Rav Soloveitchik explained that Rav Zinish has a different explanation. Why is this a three-way Lishitas between Rav Yehuda Reb Shimon? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, according to Reb Shimon, that you say that Oichlem and Kelim Amuchan Me'aleihem, so you can say Ben HaShemetz, there is a din of Migadis Katzoy. Yeah, there is a din. If you have Eitzim Abana V'Ofer, in the beginning of Shabbos, and then someone went ahead and they built a table out of it. So since Bein Hashmashes, who was Muktzah Mamash, who was Eitzma Avon HaGofer, it remained Muktzah throughout the remainder of Shabbos as well. But if you had something was a basis, the shemen or the nera or the psila, the container of the shemen was a basis, but Bein Hashmashes at the beginning of Shabbos, I know that it's not going to be a basis past 1 o'clock at night. I know the flame always goes out every Shabbos night, every Friday night, by 1 o'clock at night. The flame always goes out. There are no more flame. So according to Reb Shimon, they just say, Ochel mekenem ha-mucha me'aleim, so it can be mucha me'ela ba'avur li'ach hazma. So Bein Hashmashes of Knesset HaShabbos, I can already predict that at 1 o'clock at night, it will no longer be mukta. So it's mucha me'ela ba'avur li'ach hazma. But according to Reb Yudah, then you need achanas ha-bailim. So there are two shades of explanation within Reb Yudah. Either you say, if you need achonas abaylim, so right now it's muktzah, you're not a baylim to make achon alach hazman. Or you can say, no, maybe if he says explicitly, let's say the person makes a declaration on Erev Shabbos, I plan to use the leftover oil, I know the flame is going to go out, that by 1 o'clock at night the candle will be out, the wick, the flame on the wick will be out, and he makes a declaration, I plan to use the leftover shem. So that's a diyun in Shulchan Aruch, whether Reb Yudah would agree that in such a case he wouldn't say migud is katzoy. The Ran there in Masechet Shabbos quotes some machlekes of Rishonim about that. So those are two shades of explanation. Why is Reb Yudah the Shitasa holds that you need achanas habaylim? So if the thing is buses bein hashmashes al pidin, you say you're not a baylim to be mechanit lachazman. He say no, you are a baylim, but you're a baylim if you're going to make a declaration. But right now it's muktzah. So right now, since it's muktzah, there's no achanas habaylim now. So why should you assume that he's mechanit lachazman? There's an umdad in the muchach that any food or any ochlim in the house, according to Rebbe, any food or ochlim, unless it's pesach or the dishes or the ice cream for the birthday party on Sunday, so the umdad in the muchach, any food in the house or any kalim in the house, I would probably reserve the right to use on Shabbos. But the oil that's on the bottom, the oil that right now is a buses, you can't say there's an umdad in the muchach because right now it's a buses, so you can't use it. In that case, there is no umdad in the mukhach, so that's why Reb Yudah would say that it would be migud is katsoy. This din of migud is katsoy, whatever is muktzah, the whole din of muktzah, al pi pashtas, we assume the whole din of muktzah is only with the Rabbanah. Most of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi, but muktzah l'tiltal certainly is only the Rabbanah. So the whole din of migud is katsoy, bein hashmashes is katsoy l'kul yam, the whole din al pi pashtas is a din the Rabbanah. But called the tikkun Rabbanah came there, I said tikkun. So what din derisa is this pattern after that they say that Bein Hashmashes Tchilas HaShabbos is Koveya for the rest of the Shabbos. So Rav Soloveitchik said the following Hesber. There's a Sefer Eretz Tzvi that was written by a great Gaon who was killed by the Nazis. He was known as the Kozhuk Lover. They have his picture hanging in the library on the fifth floor, I think, or 5A. His brother gave a donation to the yeshiva. I don't think the Kozhuk Lover was a rabbi Torah Mada man, but his brother gave money to yeshiva. He appreciated it. So the Kozhuk Lover has a very fascinating tshuva. He says, what's the din if he's talking a tshuva about the date line. What's the din if a person, this is the middle of Friday afternoon in one location, then he goes by boat or by plane across the date line, and it becomes all of a sudden Shabbos afternoon. So where he is now, he has to observe Shabbos. Is that really Minat Torah? He has to observe Shabbos the rest of the day? Maybe it's only Midr Rabbanan. Why should it only be Midr Rabbanan? Where he is now, Shabbos. So he says, maybe the idea on the level of Daraisa is that the Bein Hashmashes of Tchilo Shabbos is Mechayv and Shmiras on Shabbos. So he quotes that this was a machloikas between the Sachat Shavu Rebbe, he learned by the Avnei Nezer, this Kozhuk Lover who was killed by the Nazis, he was a Talmud of the Sachat Shavu, the Avnei Nezer. So he said, this Nekuda was machlekes between the Sachat Shavu Rebbe and the Chechanov Rebbe, contemporaries of each other. So the Avnei Nezer, the Sachat Shavu Rebbe, was of the opinion that Bein Hashmashes of Tchilo Shabbos is the Oyser on the level of the Reiser for Shabbos. And the Chechanov Rebbe disagreed. He said, no, every moment of Shabbos has Kedusha Sayyam. So every moment is Mechayev to observe Shabbos. So the Kozhuk Lover writes, if where you were, it was, let's say, Friday afternoon, and then you go across the date line, now it becomes Shabbos afternoon, but you didn't experience a Bein Hashmashes of Tchilas HaShabbos. So according to the Kozhuk, according to the Sochet Shaver, you're not obligated to observe Shabbos for the rest of the day, Menatar, probably by the Rabbanan, you should. Everybody else in the community there, it is Shabbos. And according to the Chechanover Rebbe, one would be obligated to observe Shabbos Menatar. So he writes that the way the Avnei Nezer understood, the din the Rabbanan of Migadis Katsoyle Ben Hashmash is Katsoyle Guliyam, is patterned after, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came the rest of Tikkun. Patterned after the din deraisa, the din deraisa being that Tchilas HaShabbos is the Oser, is the Kovea for Shabbos. That's what Rav Soloveitchik understood. He understood like the Avnei Nezer. So the Kosher Glover writes in his Tshuva and Eretz Tzvi, he writes, Rav Soloveitchik said this also, this part, that this is really a famous machlokes between the Rosh and the Maharam Rutenberg. Maharam Rutenberg was the Rebbe of the Rosh. So the last page in the Rosh, in Maseches Ma'akotin, he has the following discussion. We paskin la'alocha that there's no chinuch and avelus. So if a child before bar mitzvah loses a relative, loses a parent, loses a sibling, whatever, so he's not. There is no din of chinuch. Normally the child is going to be heartbroken. So he wants to sit and cry, doesn't want to go to yeshiva, doesn't want to go to cheder. Okay, so if he wants to cry, let him stay home and cry. But if he's such a young child, he doesn't even understand what it means that his father died. His father's not home, but he wants to go to school anyway. So the Dogam of Avavah writes on Yeridah, so let him go to school. Let him go to yeshiva and learn. There is no din of chinuch on Avelus. On Kriya, there is chinuch, because Kriya luchud, Avelus luchud, but on Avelus, there's machloikas, we pask, and there's no chinuch on Avelus. So the Maharam Rutenberg, that's the assumption. The Maharam Rutenberg discusses, what's the din? A relative died, and one of the surviving krovim is a katan before bar mitzvah, and then he becomes bar mitzvah within shloshim. So there is a din of shmur kreva in shmur rechoika. If a person hears about the death of a relative within 30 days of their dying, he didn't know about it when they died. He finds out 28 days later, so then he has to observe shiva shloshim. But if he finds out after shloshim, after 30 days passed, after the person died already, so then it's shmur rechoika, he only has to observe yom echad, and the yom echad can chisel down to shahachas based on mikzayim kekula. That's the gemara psochim, beginning of psochim, like cotton like that. So the that's Nagel Alocha, unfortunately. Sometimes it happens like that. There's Machlokes 30 days after what? 30 days after Kvura Bekeva Yisrael, which sometimes is not the case. Sometimes no one knew who he was. The person died. In a case like that in New York, someone died, he had no identification on his body. And they didn't know who he was, so they buried him in the city cemetery. And then the police were searching for the family was missing the husband and the father, and the son was getting married soon after. So the husband was missing, so the police made a whole investigation until they finally found that this person had died. They gave a photograph of the person. The person had died, he was buried not Bekeva Yisrael. So by the time the family found out about it, it was 30 days after his death, but it wasn't 30 days after Kvura Bekeva Yisrael. He didn't have any Kvura Bekeva Yisrael. He's buried in a Goyishin cemetery. So we're makel on that. We paskin that 30 days after the death. Chochma Sodom, I think, writes that he learned by the Nodi Behuda. Nodi Behuda paskin like that. 30 days after the death is called Shmur Rechoika. And you only observe Avelus Yemecha. So the Maharam Rutmer has the Shaila. A child is before Bar Mitzvah. So in the Ikar Adin, there's no din of Chinuch on the Avelus when somebody dies. But then he becomes bar mitzvah within 30 days. Should I consider that like a shmua kroiva? So now he's bechayev to observe avelus, or should I say not? So the Maharam Rutenberg proves from a gemara in Yevamos. He quotes a gemara in Yevamos: if a child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, how can a child become bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos? In order to be bar mitzvah, you have to have shana v'simanim. You have to have shtei saris. So let's say Friday night the shtei saris didn't grow yet. In the middle of Shabbos, the shtei saris sprout. Has to be a certain length. So in the middle of Shabbos, it becomes bar mitzvah. Or there's one opinion in Tosfos, half of the Rishonim, half of the Achronim hold, that the Gemara in Erechin is to be taken literally. The Gemara says that a child becomes bar mitzvah, the bein ubebas, they become bas mitzvah, bar mitzvah, yud beis shana, yud gimel shana v'yem echad, may eis le'eis. The child was born at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he becomes bar mitzvah at 2 o'clock. Moshe Rabbeinu is born, let's say, in Zaynod at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he becomes bar mitzvah. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, not the Tzeisa Tuchavim of the night before. Half of the Rishonim, half of the Achronim hold like that. Rav Soloveitchik thought that was a big joke. He thought that it's a mistake. But half of the Bali HaTosfos, half of the Poskim hold like that. They become bar mitzvah, meis leis, literally. So the Gemara talks about a case, a child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos. So does he have to observe the remainder of Shabbos min ha-Torah or mid rabbanan? So the Gemara says, min ha-Torah, it'll be mechal Shabbos b'shege, it'll be chayv ha-chatos. If it would only be mid rabbanan, you're not chayv chatos, only chayv chatos. Kol she's done a chorus, there's no chorus if it's only mid rabbanan. So the Gemara says over there that even though at the beginning of Shabbos the child was not bar mitzvah, but if he becomes a mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, he has to observe the remainder of Shabbos. So the Maharam Rutmerk says, you see from the Gemara that ein dichui eitzel mitzvahs. The Gemara has this expression in a different context, Masechet Sukkah, totally different context, ein dichui eitzel mitzvahs. So Maharam Rutmerk says, even though the Mechayiv Avavelis is the Stimas HaGoylo, that's when you should become a Mechuyev, and the child wasn't bar mitzvah, so the Stimas HaGoylo, even though the Mechayiv of observing Shabbos is Ben Hashmashes of Tchilas HaYayim, but the Ben Hashmashes is Mechayiv the Kotten, Likishayagdil, later in the day. So he said the same is true regarding Avelis. The Mechayiv of Avelis is the Stimas HaGoylo, the Gmar HaKvura, and the Stimas HaGoylo is Mechayiv the Kotten, Likishayagdil, if he'll become a Godel within Shloshim Yom. That's the Maharam Rutenberg. So the Rosh quotes this psak, the last page in the Rosh of Mike Cotton quotes it, and he disagrees. He says, the Rebbe passed away. So he says, it's not fair, I disagree with the Rebbe. When the Rebbe was alive, I would disagree with him. He would probably rip me to pieces. So he uses an expression from the Mishnah, Emeshivin Asari Lachamosa. You pick a fight with the lion after the lion is dead. If the lion is still alive, he'll eat you up. So he says, it's not fair, I'm disagreeing with the Rebbe. The Rebbe passed away, you can't answer me back. But I don't understand what he says. So the Rosh Hashanah says, what's the tzushtal, what's the hashavot to Shabbos? Why do you say that the Ben Hashmashes of Tchila Shabbos is Mechayiv for the remainder of Shabbos? Every moment of Shabbos has a Kedusha Sayyam, every moment is Mechayiv. And the Maharam Rutmerg obviously understood otherwise. He thought that the Ben Hashmashes of Tchila Shabbos is the Mechayiv to observe Shabbos. So that's what the Kozhik Lava points out. And that's exactly the machlokes between his Rebbe, the Sochet Shev Rebbe, the Avdei Neze, and the Chechen of Erev. So Rav Soloveitchik assumed like this part from the Avnei Nezer. He assumed that the Mechayiv of Shabbos is the Tchilas HaYom of Knesset, the Bein HaShmashes of Tchilas HaShabbos. And that's called the Tikkun Rabbanu Kein. The Rai said, Tikkun, this din of Migudas Katsa, the Bein HaShmashes, whatever was Muktzah, Bein HaShmashes, remains Muktzah throughout the day. So when you learn the Gemara later on Dalad and Aleph, you'll see the Tosfos Halachana de Rabbah come to Fligi, and take a look at the Tosfos in Sukkah. That viewed on the base, the Gemara there is discussing the following. If you have the Beitzah Shenolda B'Shabbos, then you have Shabbos next to Yontif. So the Beitzah Shenolda B'Shabbos is Muktzah today. There's no reason why it should be Muktzah tomorrow, it's Muktzah today. Does but the Beitzah that was Nolda today is Muktzah, is it going to remain Muktzah tomorrow also? So the Gemara says it should depend on the Machlokes for the Kedusha Achas, the Shtei Kedushas. That's the Machlokes Hatanoim in the Mishnah and Erevin. When you have Shabbos next to Yontif, they say it's one long Kedusha Sayyam for 48 hours, and they say no, this is a Kedusha Sayyam for 24 hours, that's a Kedusha Sayyam for 24 hours. So we pass in Shtei Kedushas. So the Gemara says, if you hold Shtei Kedushas, so why should you say, no, the Bezah Sur Bezah, the Beitzah Shenolda on Shabbos, why should it be also tomorrow's Yontif? It's Shtei Kedushas, the second day is not a Hemshech on the first day. The Gemara says, oh, but if you hold Achana the Rabbi, then we understand it. Why do you understand that you hold Achana the Rabbah? So Tosis breaks the head. They give two suggestions. What does it have to do with Achana the Rabbah? So Tosis there in Sukkah is in disagreement with Rashi. Rashi holds, Rashi is of the opinion, Tosis pointed expression, Muktz mach mesofik yom shav. What if something is Muktz ben hashmashes because it was Muktz yesterday? So the ben hashmashes of sof hayom, you have to ask her because even though the whole din of Muktzah is only with the Rabbanan, it should have said Sveka the Rabbanan Lakula, but it's a Dovash Eshel Matir, and the Gemara says, so you're not going to be Mekal on that. So if something is Muktzah, Ben Hashmash, it's because it may be yesterday. But the first second that you know it's today, by definition, it's not going to be Muktzah. So Tosh says, by definition, Muktzah, Mach Masaf, Gem Sha'avar, if it's only Muktzah, Ben Hashmash, of Tchilas Ayom HaSheni, you have Shabbos next to Yontif, so they have 2 days Yontif next to each other. So something is Muktzah the first day. The only reason why it's Muktzah Ben Hashmash is because you don't know when the first day ends, when the second day begins. So whatever is Muktzah Mach Masaf Yem Shava, you can't say Migras Katzoy. Migras Katzoy means whatever was Muktzah the first moment of Shabbos remains Muktzah throughout Shabbos. like the Avnei Nezer said, because the Tchilas HaShabbos is Kaveh on the level of the Raisa, so it's Kaveh on the level of the Rabbah. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. How can Rashi there in Sukkot, if you remember, how can Rashi say Mukhtzah Machan Sofi Gem Shava? By definition, it can't be. So the Tosfos proves it from our Gemara. The Gemara here says that if you have Beitzu Shenolda Shabbos next to the end, Beitzu Shenolda the first day, so why in the world should it be Mukhtzah the second day? Either if you hold Kedusha Achas, so to 48 hours of Kedusha Sayyam, one long Arichas, whatever is Mukhtzah the first day, Hemshach, the second day is Hemshach. Or the old, for some reason or another, Hachana the Rabbah, which Tosfos doesn't really fully understand. And Dalam, they don't understand why. But don't you see the Farish from this Gemara that you don't say Mukhtzah Mach Masafi Gemsha over? Because on the first day it was Mukhtzah. So the Ben Moshe said at the end of the first day, it was also Mukhtzah. Because Safik Beitzu Shenolda Beyantim says Sveik Alechum, because Dovish Eish Lamatir. So why don't you say Mukhtzah, according to Rashi, why don't you say Mukhtzah Mach Masafi Gemsha over? So the Beis Halevi quotes in his Chuvas, Aridvo An Erevin, who defends Rashi, he says, no, Rashi learns that that's exactly what the Gemara said. If you hold Achana the Rabbah, then the Vorta Migris Katzoi doesn't depend on the first second of Shabbos and the first second of Yontov. That Tchilas Hayom is Kaveh. No, it depends on the last second of yesterday. Because according to Rashi, if you hold Achana the Rabbah, Rabbah said an improper Achana is also. Why? So Rashi understands, the Aleph Nehoch and the Muktzah Derais, improper Achana is the equivalent of a lack of Achana. And if there's a lack of hachana, then you're not allowed to eat. It's when you have to do the hachana, the last second on Erev Shabbos. So according to Rashi, Migdus Katzoi is not because whatever is the first second of Shabbos is Koveya. Because Tchidus Hayom of Shabbos is Koveya. No, the Beis Halevi quotes the Ritvo in Erevin. It's really there. I'm saying I saw it in the Beis Halevi. I didn't see it originally in the Ritvo. But the Ritvo is really there. He says it. So he says, Rashi got it from this Gemara that Muktzimach Masaf Yigam Shabbos is us. And why is it us, sir? Because it's not a word, Tchilas Hayom is Kaveh, not the way the Avnei Nezer explained. That's what we usually say, like Rav Soloveitchik said, like the Avnei Nezer said. Tchilas Hayom of Shabbos is Kaveh on the level of the Reis, and Tchilas Hayom of Shabbos is Kaveh on the level of Muktzah. No, Rashi holds that you need a Hachana, Hachana Mibod Yom. So it has to be Mukhan, the last second of yesterday. No, the last second of yesterday, it was Muktzah. So Rashi, the Shittosa, learns that that's what the Gemara said over here. Tosfos, the Shittosa, some couldn't learn like that. Because Tosfos says that Achana the Rabbah doesn't mean that an improper Achana is the equivalent of a lack of Achana. Lack of Achana is the Raisa. No, lack of Achana is Muktzah. Muktzah Lachil is only with the Rabbanah. Lack of Achana. So the only part is that they had an improper Achana. So what's the Dina Migdus Katzai? Migdus Katzai just means Tchilas Hayom is Kaveh. So that's why Tosfos Lishitosam breaks the head to figure out and Dalet and Alf. What does it have to do with Achana the Rabbah? Good. This is by way of introduction to what's going on over here. Then you have to understand the Hemshech should be, what's the difference between Noilat Gom and Noilat Sheinu Gom? The Gemara has a machloik, is man de leislein muktza, leislein noilat even noilat gomor, or only noilat Sheinu Gom? So that's the Hemshech Yod. Okay. Thank you.